Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And I'm delighted to have Jonathan Robinson, author of his newest book, Find Happiness Now, to share with our audience his journey to self-actualization and the joy he has found in living his life purpose, and shares a path of discovering the keys to happiness. As I have suggested in my new book, The Living Spirit, you can have a positive, happy life. It is your divine birthright, but you must be consistent in your efforts. And Jonathan says, you need to actively cultivate the happiness habit. Is it worth the effort? We both say it is the only way to discover who you are, what life is all about, and how we can remember why we chose to have a physical life in the first place. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Cheryl. Good to be with you.
And to have you here. Jonathan, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, we have been privileged and honored to have on this show leaders in their fields who share their own personal stories and their successful journeys in creating purposeful and dynamic lives through sharing with us how applying the universal laws of energy to everyday life experiences and knowing more fully our intuitive, energetic soul presence in conjunction with our ego-based physical reality, or in essence, the mind-body-soul connection, we find the way towards understanding multidimensional healing and the way past fears, traumas, and any limitation. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Jonathan Robinson, a psychotherapist and a leading expert on how to be happy, shows how he gets his message across in powerful and unusual ways, giving his audiences useful, practical, and simple ways to feel better, how to go from stressed out to blissed out in under 60 seconds with a scientifically proven method, and how to catch happiness and joy from others who are around you and learn to pass it on to those you love. Jonathan, please tell us something of your earliest childhood memories, and if you feel you were already set on a road to find the work and attitudes you now share, and how you view your life purpose?
Well, those are big questions. First, I was blessed to have a rather miserable childhood. I say blessed because it got me searching at a very young age. I saw that the path of money and other things that people do to focus on wasn't going to necessarily lead to happiness. My parents were well off, but they really disliked each other and had a horrible marriage. And by the time I was 12 or 13, I was in a fair amount of pain, and that got me motivated to get into what my parents used to call weird stuff, which consisted of things like self-help books and hypnosis and meditation. So by the time I was 13, I was meditating and doing hypnosis, and since then have always been looking for the simplest ideas and methods that can really make a difference in my and other people's lives.
So you have traveled extensively and met many master teachers. Can you tell us about some of your memories of any of these encounters?
Sure. You know, I have met a lot of teachers, everyone from Mother Teresa, late Mother Teresa, to the Dalai Lama, and I have tried to interview them as to find out what ideas or methods they found the most impactful and incorporate some of them into my life. I have a kind of a funny story. I had heard of this Indian guru who supposedly had a magical mantra for helping people feel overwhelming gratitude. And I knew that gratitude was key for both happiness and spiritual growth. So I traveled all the way to India, 18,000 miles, to talk to this guy. And, you know, then I was in a rickshaw for a couple of hours and then waited in line for 5 hours to talk to him. I'm jet lagged and worn out, but I'm dying to hear this phrase he has for helping people feel gratitude. So I finally get to talk to him, and I tell him my story, and he says, in his, you know, deep Indian accent, "Ah, yes, my mantra is the most powerful mantra on earth." He said, normally people have to wait a couple months to hear it, but since I travel all the way from India, he was going to give it to me. So he leans in to my ear and he says, whenever possible, repeat the following words. The mantra I give you is the words, thank you. I said, that's it? Thank you? I travel 1,000 miles. Thank you, that's it?
Well, I think it's a very important word, and having good manners and social graces and love in your heart can be expressed as simply as that. And that's the common thread. I was going to ask you what the common thread that runs through these enlightened and ennoble people, and that is the common thread. That, you know, Jonathan, in my new book, The Living Spirit, I have a passage entitled Taking Responsibility for Our Happiness, and I share a quote by Dr. Gerald Jambalsky, which says, mm-hmm. How simple it is to see that we can only be happy now, and there will never be a time when it is not now.
Kind of why I called my book Find Happiness Now, is because, you know, now is all you have. This is guru, he said, no, the mantra you have been using is that's it, and that's it will take you nowhere. You know, just saying thank you for, the fact that the taxi I took back out of there had air conditioning. You know, thank you for air conditioning. And then I got to my hotel room, and thank you for the water, the clean water I had, and thank you for the shower, and thank you for the bed. And
it really is just that. So share with us how to go from stressed out, because right now we're living in a very troubled world with many, many calamities happening all over, not just here, but all over the world. So what are some techniques we can use to, in under 60 seconds, with a scientifically proven method that can help us start to let go, relax, and drop into a state of being blessed out?
Okay. Well, one, I have several in the book, but one that I really like is, and people can do this while I'm talking to them. It only takes 60 seconds or less. You begin by thinking of a person or animal that you have great affection for. I usually focus on my wife or my dog. And you just remember times that you had with them that were special, times that you felt connected, times that you were playing with them or loving. And just remember some of those times in your mind. And if you can close your eyes, great. If you can't, then don't. But just feel your sense of connection to this being and how grateful you are that they're a part of your life and how wonderful they've made moments in your life. And you can even imagine telling them how much they mean to you and seeing how happy that makes them.
You know, Jonathan, when you do that, what you're actually doing is also physically slowing down your breathing. You're going into a state of silence or quiet, and you're smiling, perhaps, so a smile brings you into a good state immediately, and that is the key to positive thinking and to concentrating on what really is worthwhile in your life instead of any negative emotion or anything that may have traumatized you either that day or in the past, and letting go of any of that negativity that really doesn't serve you in any way. So that's what you're really showing here, and it is a way forward for many people to start to let go of their traumas and hurts and wounds. Some of them are real, and some of them are only imagined. So we want to go to holding on to what's real in our life, and that's what you're describing here. What's real are the things that we value and love, like gratitude, like saying thank you, like being appreciative, like enjoying life. And I love that you're saying that. How does one perform the intimate coffee break in your office?
Well, something I notice is that if you look at monkeys or baboons or apes, they're constantly touching each other. You know, because as mammals, we need that sense of touch. But in this society, we don't touch each other unless we want to have sex, and that's a great loss. We need to feel a sense of touch, both in and outside the bedroom. So the idea is that you would find somebody at work who you're friends with and say, hey, would you mind exchanging 5-minute shoulder rubs? you know, because my neck gets tense, and, you know, if you give me 5 minute shoulder rub, and I'd appreciate that sense of touch, it'd help my neck to relax, help my whole body relax, then we'll trade off, and I'll do that to you. And I've done that in a couple offices I've worked with, and it caught fire. And soon, everybody was doing it, and everybody felt closer to each other. It wasn't a sexual thing, and everybody was more relaxed at the end. So that's the type of thing you can do, which I call an intimate coffee break, if you can work it out amongst the people that you know.
Well, I'm an energy Reiki practitioner, so I am able, through distant healing, to help people relax without really touching them. That is a skill that I have developed over a long time and with training. And people can do that for each other also with how they smile, how they look at a person when they're talking, how they slow down and don't run by them and not pay attention. Many people are so involved in their own interests and needs that they don't make the time to truly see what's going on with other people. And that's another way of being intimate, to really listen, to really observe. We're all sensory beings. We're all empathic. We can all feel when someone else is struggling. And all we'd have to do is make ourselves available and let them unburden themselves. And they will, if you allow it and you just are quiet enough. Or even sometimes just say to them, oh, how can I help you? Is there something I can do for you now? That's another way to bring intimacy and goodwill in our working situations, in our home life. And we're going to go on to ask, what is a healthy relationship and how does one build a healthy relationship?
Well, studies show that the ratio of positive to negative comments you give to a person is the number one factor in determining how healthy a relationship is. So little acts of kindness and appreciations really count for a lot, you know. Most people forget to do that, and we instead focus on what we don't like about a person, and soon there's more distance in the relationship because that's what we're focusing on.
Absolutely. So then a healthy relationship, I believe, is where two people support. That word is very important. Support each other in being happy together, when they're together, as well as helping the other person to find happiness within themselves. Now, I've been with couples that will not allow the other person to move without having them attached at the hip. You know what I'm saying here. Now, that's an unhealthy relationship. We have to allow everybody to explore and develop their own interests, their own human potential, and we have to have enough trust that when the time is right, they come back. It's like you can't hold a bird in your hand and squash it and say, stay here and love only me, because love is contagious, and we are beings that are meant to explore more than our personal family, more than our work situation. We're looking for a universal type of love, and that's knowing who we are as spiritual and physical beings. And we're right now in the middle of a spiritual evolution. It actually started in around the year 2000, the new millennium. And we're watching people now reach out to each other in many, many different ways. What you said about people being unhappy if they have a lot of money is true. It's not the money that brings happiness. It's not traveling. It's not clothes. It's not anything of the material world. We want to not judge, not blame. We want to accept people and know that everybody is growing and evolving at their own pace. And we have to accept that. We can't move it along any faster than it's happening, because each person has a life, I believe, has a life plan and a destiny. And they come in here to be with certain people, to learn certain, to have experiences and learn new ways to value themselves and life generally. So I think having a healthy relationship is one of the reasons we choose a physical life. But now a very important question comes in. How does one maintain, the word maintain, a healthy relationship? You may have it at one point, and then again, it may start to slip away like a balloon that leaves your hand and goes up into the air. You have to hold on to it in a way that's going to be successful. So how does one maintain a healthy relationship?
Well, you know, many years ago, I wrote a book called Communication Miracles for Couples, and it became a bestseller after I was on Oprah for it. And I got a lot of letters from people saying that one technique in the book in particular transformed their relationship. And the technique is basically a method of helping you feel empathy towards whatever your friend or partner says. People want to know that they feel understood on an emotional level. So it might just involve saying, well, it sounds like you've had a really hard day. That must be very frustrating, or you must feel really hurt. And that ability to feel another person's life and to show empathy for their situation seems to be the most critical skill for maintaining emotional connection with friends and lovers. And, you know, an interesting fact is that a person's happiness level is most determined by the quantity and quality of their friendships. So if there's nothing else you focus on, you should focus on the quality of friendships, because that will determine your happiness level. And big ingredient of friendships is being able to express your understanding of their feelings and being there with a person. And we're not trained in that.
And it should be taught. Understanding people's emotions and reactions and behaviors, because everything is energy. And every response is an energetic response. And that should be taught, starting in the elementary schools and going right through. And people need the tools to live well. They need to understand themselves, and they need to understand others.
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the techniques in my book. I call it love strategies, and the basic question is to help people remember a time that they felt totally loved, and then to say, what was the key thing that helped you to know that you were fully loved? And as you mentioned, some people would be touched, some people might be doing a kind deed for them, for some people it might be words of appreciation or whatever, but it is very specific to people. And I know with my wife, once I was giving her a massage, and she said, would you cut that out? And I said, what? She said, well, you're always touching me.
She and didn't said, like it.
Yeah. And she said, you know, she had had an uncle who used to give her massages. And when she was about 13, she was molested by this uncle. She didn't take my touching in that way to be a sign of care. She took it as a sign of impending doom.
Yeah.
And we had to, you know, get that clear.
But, yes, the patterns that we learn in childhood are triggers for what will set us off later in life. And we want to work to remove them to the best of our ability and realize that they're just lodged in our cellular memory, but they're not happening now. And they're, I, as an intuitive Reiki healer, do work on helping people release those barriers and those physical feelings, but it takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. It takes a person wanting to go beyond denial into a state of a new way to approach things, a new way, new perception to see things, and it can be done. Now, you talk about the second approach, inner technology, as a way for finding happiness. And you give certain techniques for finding happiness in yourself. You express two basic approaches. The first one is more money and control, and the second approach is the inner technology. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, well, the first approach is what we learn in this culture, this cult that we're brought up in, called culture, is that if we had more money and more control and we could manipulate everything to be just exactly the way we want, then we'd be happy. That's what we're taught and brainwashed. It works to some extent, but it doesn't work well. Inner technology is using methods, usually that take under a couple minutes a day, that I have in my book for tapping into the peace and joy and love within. So, you know, we mentioned a couple of them, but there's a lot of different methods. I give 50 because I think different people respond to different things. You know, one person might really tap into love by doing acts of kindness, another person by doing a short meditation, another person by scheduling something like a walk with a good friend that would be really meaningful to them. So you want to have a lot of different things that you know how to do to tap into these feelings within that most people are too busy or too focused on trying to get control to really try. And so it's like trying to drive a car with half an engine.
Absolutely.
You're not going to go very far.
You also say that some of the ways to let go of personal stories or thoughts that we are feeling or that have become embedded in our psyche are to ask yourself two questions. And I found this to be very important, a good approach to think about whatever it is that may be holding us back or bothering us. So can you tell us what you might say to yourself when you're having thoughts and something happened that was not pleasant or good for you? What might you say to yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we normally, our normal view of things is that life is always giving us a cosmic error that we have to correct.
Exactly.
But I think life gives us clues as to something to learn or something to know or some way to proceed. So if you take everything that happens in your life as being a lesson that is useful, then it just imbues daily life with a lot more meaning.
Well, also, if you understand that people don't mean to hurt each other, people really want to be basically happy. And when someone does something that's hurtful to you, it might be their situation or their problem or their limitation. And if you don't take it personally, you're going to be happy most of the time. You're going to be able to walk right through other people's behaviors and not judge it. And this takes practice, like everything else. It takes observation. It takes being around people who are discussing things the way you and I are right here, so we can focus on things that will create harmony and balance in our lives. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely.
I want to thank you, Jonathan Robinson, psychotherapist, professional speaker, and author of 9 books, including Communication Miracles for Couples, and his newest book, which we have just discussed in detail today, Find Happiness Now. For more information and to purchase his books, go to findinghappiness.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have explored the value and need to find the real reason any soul decides to have a physical life or reality, and that is to feel at the deepest levels happiness, joy, love, and compassion, and to differentiate those vital life-enhancing emotions and energies so we may begin to flow through any state of being or emotion, especially pain, sorrow, and anger, jealousy, fear, or greed, always returning to our natural state of being, which is to be peaceful and happy. We have explored practical, easy ways to solve problems and manifest our goals and dreams while deepening our relationships with those we love, which hopefully should be expanded to include many more people than just your personal family or marital partner. We have seen ways to grow in confidence, self-esteem, and to become our own hero, learning to set aside judgment and to be loving and forgiving. Jonathan wrote, "I believe that human beings are born with a dream inside of them, an idea or picture of how they'd like their life to be, and how they'd like to contribute to others. Whatever your inner calling, it needs to be nurtured. In this day and age, there are many distractions. Like a fragile plant that needs the proper care to grow, your deepest desires need the right fertilizer and health in order to blossom. Jonathan and I would hope that you begin your search for what really is valuable and desirable for you personally, without the opinions and judgments of the outside world, and see that when you begin to pursue a purpose or goal that makes you give of yourself to others and to allow yourself to receive love from others, you will find that life is more meaningful and happiness has always been within. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about people in search of clearer and more distinct ways to know themselves, our world, our universe, utilizing the laws of energy and spirit to create a more evolved way to live and thrive. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.